May 15th, 1993, and I'm talking with Bill Benson at his home in Wheaton Road.
Bill, I'd start off by giving a little bit of biographical information. We'd like to know, if you don't mind, your age and where you grew up so they can orient it all.
I grew up in Upper Montclair, New Jersey. I was born even as World War I was coming to a close. And we came up here. My family started renting places up here on the lake, on Lake Winnanskapomick. And I wish I had talked to my mother and father, even as I'm being talked to now, because I remember things so vaguely in many respects. But it must have been for 3 or 4 years in the 30s, maybe 32 to 37, somewhere in that area. And we first rented a place, I think it was called the Barstow Cottage. And let me see if I can place it for you. Say you're coming out of the Wake Robin Inn driveway onto Route 41 and turn right going to Lakeville. It would be at the second drive on the left, on the lake side. I went by it the other day, it's number 93. And there's a stone wall in front of it, the only stone wall along there. And this cottage is down a slope, well back from the road. And it's a one-story house, which must have been sort of unusual in those days. And out behind it, it was flat, and then where we played croquet and had some wonderful times, and then it went round rather drastically to the lake. And we had a fine summer there. But subsequently, we started renting a house that belonged to Charlotte Norton, who was the librarian at Scoville Library for many years, a very nice woman. And I think she lived with a niece named Kiki. And this house was, once again, I'll try and place it. Just about at the top of the hill where the Catholic Church is, and Wells Hill goes off to the left. Across the way on the lake side, there are two driveways side by side. One is number 63, one is number 65. And you go in those drives towards the lake, and there's the Victorian house that's now has Art of Japan in it.
Oh, yeah.
And those two drives, the one on the left goes to what used to be the barn, and the one on the right goes to the house. You can't see the house very well from the road because there's a house closer to the road that sort of cuts in front of it. But in those days, the house gave out on a great meadow going down to the lake, extending from the, I think it was the Charlie house, the one that I refer to as the Art of Japan house. It belonged to people named Charlie, if I remember. I think it was Mitch Finley, who still lives around here. I think that was his boyhood home. He lived there at that time. Anyway, this meadow extended from that property to the south to what was the Borden estate, on the northern side, the Lakeville village side. So it was a really good-sized meadow. And when I went by it in a boat not long ago, I think I counted 4 or 5 houses there. And that was a meadow we used to romp around and run down to the lake in. And so I was sort of brought face-to-face with the passage of time. And we led a simple life. There were 3 of us boys. We had a wonderful time. It couldn't have been much pleasanter.
And you came up for summers.
We came up for summers. We came up with my mother, and my dad would come up on weekends and for his vacation.
Were most of the houses summer houses?
I wish I could answer that. I suspect not many of them were rented for summer uses in those days. Mm-hmm. I don't think there were a lot of summer people coming to this world. Certainly not comparable today, but I could be wrong about that. I really don't know.
So in that sense, your family were sort of ahead of the times.
They were, sort of, for which I'm eternally grateful, because obviously that's why I'm living here today, but that's a continuing story. Anyway, we had a, there was a circular drive around the house. I guess it still is. Wonderful for bicycle racing, all sorts of hell for leather, capers like that. And we spent so much time down by the lake. We had a dock that ran out into the lake and fished for sunnies and all the usual things kids do.
I bet the lake was clear then. Too.
It was clear. Oh boy, it was wonderful. Turtles abounded. You could get in a boat and go around to see turtles on logs, and you could scoop them up with nets sometimes, and it was quite a different proposition. I remember the dock every June when we got up there, the dock would be put out by a man who's always stuck in my mind, an affable fellow who was named Bill Rainsford. And he had a carpentry shop, I guess, in those days. You know the little white building that's right next to the fire department's parking lot?
Yes.
That was his shop.
Oh.
And we were always impressed with Bill. He'd stand in the cold water for hours on end putting that dock out, but he had the girth to do it. He was almost as round as he was tall, but a nice man, the kind of man who would always make an impression on a youngster. And we would, the things we did were not unusual whatsoever. I remember we played a lot of golf as kids. We would go up to Hotchkiss, we'd walk up, or I guess we'd be driven up sometimes. And sometimes I remember we'd hitchhike, which of course isn't done today. And our parents were parents who would concern themselves about the welfare of their kids, but in those days it would never occur to you that a child should hitch a ride a mile or two. And I remember one time we were picked up, and we were really avid on golf, sold on it, not very good, but loved it. We'd go up there and play, and I think a family membership was probably like $50 a year or something like that. And if we weren't playing, we'd go up and look for lost balls, which was almost as much fun. Yeah. And in those days, for anybody who plays golf, I have to say you'd find the course today a darn sight simpler than it was then.
You had rougher?
Oh, they had rough. They had actual, honest to gosh, rough in those days. 4 or 5 inches tall. I remember the second and third hole were both bordered by rough. And the fourth hole tapered down into the woods. It was a dastardly hole to play. That was a great place to look for lost balls.
Has it changed? The holes have changed?
The holes have changed somewhat. The fourth hole changed drastically because they put a new building there at Hotchkiss and they had to make some modifications. And there was real sand on around the fifth hole, which there isn't much of now, and the sixth hole had rough, and so it went. Anyway, we had a lot of fun there. I'll never forget one time going up there when we were hitchhiking, we were picked up by a man, and he identified himself as Kent Fulton. Well, let's absolutely bowl this over, because Kent Fulton had built his own private 18-hole golf course on the Undermountain Road. I think it was called Hobnob Hill, if I remember correctly.
Oh, yeah.
And now there are houses there, of course. But to be picked up by a man who had his own golf course while you're going to play golf was a thrill extraordinaire. And
he didn't invite you over to his
house. He did not. I remember subsequently playing it once or twice with my dad, who somehow had the contacts to arrange it, but never, us youngsters never made it. But that was later on. In the other direction, one of the real pleasures was walking down Elm Street. Of an evening. I don't know whether Elm Street is, I don't know how to describe it. It runs into Allen Street. It's the street, you know where Fidali has his art?
It's framing shop?
Framing shop.
Yes.
And on the left there's the big house with pillars that faces on the lake. I think Charlotte Reed's right there.
Reed's family,
yeah. It? Well, that's Elm Street. And Elm Street at the southern end ran right into this big meadow, I said. So you could literally walk from your house across the meadow down Elm Street, and there was the Stewart Theater. And to be able to walk to a movie,
yes.
Not jump in a car and just meander down the hill like that was a real pleasure.
The movie theater, how long did that last?
I don't know. It burned down, of course, and I just don't know when that was. It must have been after World War II, but probably not too long after. I just don't really recall.
What other buildings were around it at that time?
Well, that's what sort of frets me, that I wish I could remember. I remember the building that's... The theater was about where the pizza place is now.
Oh, okay.
Then on the corner of 41 and Allen Street, there's a yellow house that used to be a laundromat. I don't know whether it still is or not.
Yeah.
And that was, I guess you would call it an earlier version of a variety store. It had candy, which of course was, I remember it for that reason. I suppose it had newspapers and miscellaneous things like that.
The railroad trestle was gone by that time, wasn't it?
I was trying to I was wondering about that last night. I don't know when the railroad trestle went down. I seem to think the train still came up when we lived there, but I can't honestly say I remember the answer to that.
It certainly would have been a dramatic change when the train stopped.
Wouldn't it, though? Yeah. Well, I seem to remember driving into on the Lime Rock Salisbury Road and coming to the tracks there shortly before you get into Salisbury, you know, it's now a walking path.
Oh, yes.
Just down the road from the Amen Corner.
Yeah.
And having a train come by. And then I think that might have been after World War II. But others will, I'm sure, be able to have answered this question, which I can't seem to. I remember Dufour's Garage, anybody who lived around there then, that was, you know where that was?
No, I don't.
It was on the corner, well, when you come down the hill and 41 joins 44, mm-hmm. and you turn right to go to Salisbury,
yeah.
right on that corner on the right, it's now a park. It used to be Dufour's Garage, the most improbable place to pull in. For gas or whatever.
Wasn't there a variety store next to that?
There was. Bill Barnett's variety store was on the south, going south, and there was a barber shop there.
All those things that we don't have now, would love to have.
All those things,
yeah. And the movie theater.
And of course, there was a drugstore where Dick Walsh was, but isn't now. That was there then. I think there was another drugstore up. There's a little park across from the Holly Williams house on the corner there. And there were stores there, and I think one of them was a drugstore. Whether there were two drugstores in town at that point, I don't know.
So there's much more commercial activity at that
point. Yeah, I would certainly think so. So,
had your parents been coming, your parents started coming?
My parents, well, I think the reason they first came, I think was because my dad had a business friend named George Childs who bought a farm over in Falls Village. So I rather think that's why when they first started exploring this part of the world. Subsequently, in 1945, when I came home from the service, they had bought a house on Brinton Hill. At the very top of Brinton Hill, where the sharp curve occurs, on the north side. And I remember going up with my ma to see the house, and we stayed at the Ragamont. And the Ragamont in those days was one of the few restaurants in town, but it had a real standing in the heart of people who lived in the community. It was run by two women. I can't remember their names. But it had a real flavor and a real warmth to it. And
of course, the White Hart was there then, too.
The White Hart was there, but I can't think of any other restaurants, but there probably were some. Anyway, we went over, and my ma showed me the place they acquired, and It was in our family for 35 years after that.
It's a lovely, lovely setting.
Oh, I've never been able to go over the hill. It meant so much to me that I've never had any desire to drive over the hill since. I know it sounds silly, but I just want to remember it the way it was. Yeah. Everything about it was so much a part of the world that I loved. Thank goodness, after living in a house that I wasn't particularly intrigued with one way or the other, we came over here on Wheaton Road about 5 or 6 years ago, and I love it here, and so that has sort of evened out my feelings about the other house on Britton Hill, because I love this equally.
As a child here in the summer, you must have enjoyed. They have the 4th of July parades and Memorial Day parades.
Oh sure, they're a big thing in the carnival, of course. Kids would decorate their bikes and put red, white, and blue ribbon around the wheels, and that was still patriotism as expressed in the earlier days was still with us. I guess World War II was sort of the turning point. Things began to happen too fast. But I remember that here. I remember that down in Montclair. The circus would come to, I don't think the circus came up here, down in Montclair, the circus would come to town, schools would be out, you'd go out and see them put up the tents. Can't imagine such a thing now. But
so parades were fairly fairly common.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, I still think it's one of the special things about this area when they have a Memorial Day parade.
It really?
And the performance.
I never used to go into the parade, and then it was the big, let's see, 76, the bicentennial. I figured, doggone it, I better see if I can find my old uniform. And I've been parading ever since. It's a wonderfully warm feeling to be a part of that.
Everyone participates. It's
a real
community kind of.
Absolutely so, absolutely so. And I'm sure that's deep in the heritage of this, of these New England towns.
But that tradition was already there back in the late 30s.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Had less veterans, I guess, marching.
Less veterans, yeah. Well, I don't know. World War I produced a lot of veterans, if you look at the on the monument there. But going back to Britton Hill for just one moment, the most dramatic time I remember there was, I guess, the flood of, was it 1955, the big storm that wiped out half of Winston. And, I don't know whether you're familiar with that.
I wouldn't hear that.
It was unbelievable. The Housatonic River came up, completely flooded the road that runs along the Housatonic on the west side, came up about 150 feet up Britton Hill Road. You went down the other side, headed for Salisbury, and the road where, on that corner beyond where George Minor lives, where Sandy
Boynton
lives,
yeah,
was completely washed out. I can show you pictures. And then if you try to go the other way, down Britton Hill and head towards Lime Rock, Salmon Creek had washed it out down there. So we were absolutely in our own mountain-locked world for three or four days. And the bridge in Lime Rock, that substantial cement bridge, was knocked galley west. It was quite a storm.
And it all came from one storm?
Yeah, one. I can't. It must have rained a very long time and very hard. I don't know. It built up in quite a dramatic interlude for people in this world. Going back to earlier days, I don't know what else I can recall.
I guess it is. I'm interested when you say that you hitchhiked to go up to the Hotchkiss Golf Course. I mean, it seems an easy walk, but
well, we walked it a lot too. Mm-hmm. But hitchhiking was
sort of a special sort of
hitchhiking walk. Was sort of a thing that it was sort of fun to get out and work your thumb and have somebody stop and pick you up. It was it was just another way of getting there, but it sort of created an effort to just walking along.
What when you think back to that and think now, I mean, what are the most obvious sort of changes that you saw? I mean, some obviously there's more built up, and yet some things are gone that were there, like the variety store and the movie theater.
Yeah, well,
was it more? Was downtown more built up at those days or less?
Downtown Lakeville was.
If we're going to refer to it as downtown.
Yeah, downtown. it was. Well, it substantially changed, let's put it that way. I would think almost 50% changed. There's still, of course, houses along there, and they're as they were, but so much has been torn down and in some instances built up, where the Chinese restaurant was a market, and before that, I gather, well, I'm sure other people know much more about this, and it, talked at length about it. But, I don't know, it was a community hall of some kind. I know they had dances there and stuff, but exactly what it was all about, I don't know.
How about the pocket knife square? That factor, was that still a factor?
I don't remember. It obviously was there, and I suppose maybe it was turning out what it's named for. But
wasn't doing anything that interested a young boy.
Well, that doggone it. There must have been an awful lot of interest to a young boy, but you're so absorbed in your own world, the world of being outdoors and gallivanting around and cavorting and doing your thing. You're not, well, I mean, I was not the observer of that scene that I should be. Some people have a photographic mind.
Well, you were there for the summer and
Yeah, that's true. I mean, we didn't experience it during all the seasons. We experienced it in a short way, which perhaps was a bit not completely normal because we weren't of the town. We didn't know many of the other young kids and didn't participate very much in the activities that were going on because
we had each other.
We had each other, and we had the lake, and we spent so much time just around. We had everything we needed, I guess.
Did the town beach exist then?
The town what?
Did the town beach exist on the
Yes,
lake?
It did. And Frank Markey was running it then, and the same sort of rowboats that are there
really?
Now. I remember we used to. I don't think. I guess we'd rent them. I don't think we'd rent one for the whole summer, but we would rent them quite often and fish. And we'd go out to, there's a little island. There's only one island in the lake.
Tiny little one.
Tiny little island. We love that island. And we'd go out there and picnic time and again of an evening. And the last time I was out there, it looked like the geese had discovered it and,
yes,
and it sort of messed it up good and proper.
There was a tree on there at one time, wasn't there? I don't think there is now.
There isn't now. I just don't remember whether there was or not. There might well have been. But, it was nothing more pleasurable than packing a picnic dinner and rowing out there and swimming and eating and then rowing back at dusk.
It sounds like an idyllic life.
There weren't many motors on the lake in those days.
Yeah.
And some curious things would happen, which I don't suppose would happen today. I remember seaplanes landing there once in a while.
Really?
Yeah. And I don't think there was a law against it. If there was, it was broken more than once, because I remember, I won't say a number of instances, but I remember planes there now and again.
That's extraordinary.
In fact, we've got family movies. I could document that.
It must have been very difficult to take off to get enough.
Well, there's quite a stretch. If you start down at the Hotchkiss corner there and angle across, you get a pretty good run. I'm not about to say this happened very often, but it definitely did happen.
But everyone that landed was able to take off, apparently.
The best of mine. Well, I think one plane did end up in the lake. I'm not sure it was. If it was because it had landed there or whether it just ran out of momentum and plunked in there. But the Town Grove, I don't know when it started, but I guess it must have been Frank Markey who really whipped it into. He devoted so many years to it with real feeling. I've always assumed that he was the one most instrumental for helping it develop its character. Oh, my.
That's okay. No, I just thought when you put your arm over it. He was the guiding light.
Yeah. Then, yeah.
How did you come up when you came up from New Jersey to that?
We would drive up, but it was not the. It was more of a trip than it is today. That's for sure.
I would think so.
My mother grew up in Pleasant Valley, New York, Dutchess County. Mm-hmm. So we had, and the farmhouse that she grew up in was in the family for over 100 years, up until a few years ago. And we would go up through there and come up on the other side of the Hudson, crossing over, I guess it was Newburgh.
And then you'd go through Millbrook and Amenion.
Yeah, yeah.
Were you doing any photography at that age?
Not really. I think I was given a camera when I was given a camera. I have a few pictures I took at that age. What we do have, fascinating, at least as far as the family is concerned, are my mother and dad had a movie camera, and they used it quite a bit, as I think a lot of people did in those days. And it really gives you the flavor of our life, which I can't possibly produce in words.
You still have those films?
I do, yeah.
That might be interesting at some point.
Well, as I say, they're very personal.
Mostly,
they're us.
Yeah.
And the things that
but
we
did. But I mean,
did.
Kids like the seaplane or something.
Yeah, else. Yeah. But it would give you a feeling of the simple life in those days, which may not be that much different from the simple life today, except it is, of course, when you didn't have television and people weren't jumping in motor cars the way they are now, and supermarkets to run to all the time, and so on. I shouldn't say it. It makes me sound like an old fogey, but I think you had a more meaningful life.
I think so. It serves a much more, much, much better pace than we have now.
Yeah, well, I wrote just for fun. I mean,
everything is speeding up too fast.
I started writing a few years ago, just my recollections of my childhood on Elston Road in Upper Montclair, New Jersey, which was just a quiet little road on the edge of town, and the kids and the games and so on. And I'm amazed at going back there, how different that life was from the life today. One lives in the era one lives in. You can't go back, and no reason why one should try. But it was substantially different. I mean, we were outside till dark playing kick the can and red light and cops and robbers and hares and hounds and hide and seek and all these games.
Hares and hounds is a game I don't know.
And marbles. Well, hares and hounds, as I recall, the environmentalists wouldn't like this game. You'd get paper and tear it up into little pieces of paper. Mm-hmm. And then you would start out maybe 5 minutes before my gang, and you'd leave a trail of paper.
Oh.
But it could be quite subtle, as you can imagine. And then the hounds would have to try and catch up to you.
Well, if it were biodegradable paper,
I'm not sure we were that concerned, but.
But I mean, kids don't play things like marbles or anything else anymore, I don't think.
Marbles was part and parcel of my life when I was in grammar school. And I mean, you never went to school in the spring without your marble bag.
And then you collected or traded, didn't you? And,
oh, yeah. And you play games. You draw a circle and play a game during recess, or you get there early before school and play. And it was very important to have a good shooter and your fingernails would get worn down, or your Anyway, it was.
And you didn't have
fun.
A garage full of plastic toys. So
no,
you
didn't.
You may do with marbles and some things like that. Yeah.
Well, the toys were more substantial in those days, weren't they? I mean, they were they were made with tin and iron and I don't know. It's different.
Yeah.
It's different. And some of those things we played up here, of course.
And you didn't come up in the wintertime at all in those days?
No, never. Well, I fell in, well, after my mother and dad bought that place in 45, when, I would come up whenever I could. And then I got married and we began to have children. We lived in Manhattan because well, that's where the action was for a photographer. New York City was, it was very important to be there. And I enjoyed that period. This was during the era of the Flower Children.
Oh, yes.
And I got a lot of interesting pictures. I even got some books out of that life down there. But around 1970, the children were beginning to get of school age, and we borrowed my parents' home for a year because my dad had died. My mother didn't use it except in the summer after that. And you spend 1 year here.
Your kids
begin to go to Salisbury Central. And Matt, I did a lot of running back and forth, but I certainly never wanted to turn back. So we've been here ever since.
Well, I know you took the road between Sharon and Armenia Union there where those four major trees.
That's right.
Because I used to come up on weekends and went by that, of course, every weekend.
Yeah.
I always noticed the trees, but it never occurred to me to take that series of photographs that you did.
Well, that has nothing to do with what we're talking about.
Yeah.
It was funny how that all came about.
Was the hardware store, community lumber or community hardware, that's always been there, hasn't it, only in a different form?
I think so. Yes. Yeah. Well, yeah, because what was his name? A man named Sid Coles had it before he sold it to Mike. And I think he had it for
it
a good long
Charlotte
time.
It was originally Charlotte Reed's family, wasn't it, that owned it?
I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know, though, either.
But it does go back a good long time.
And it's had just a series of fires, so they really don't know what it was like originally.
Not at all. I mean, there's no resemblance. I mean, the lumber yard and the whole complex is completely different.
But it must have been a bustling place at one time.
I imagine. And of course, there's a market. It always had to have been a market. I remember there was an A&P at one point, which was sort of in the area where the gas station is, near where, and that's where Barnett's General Store was too.
Oh.
I imagine everything that one would need would have been in Lakeville in those days. Maybe one's needs were relatively simple, but it would have to be the case, wouldn't it? I mean, people.
I would think so.
Not everybody had cars to jump into and go out to the supermarket.
And I guess you didn't spend much time in Canaan or Millerton in those days either.
Nope, I don't remember anything about Canaan and Millerton.
Far away places.
I do now. I'm very attached to Canaan.
Yeah.
And Great Barrington, which is up the road. I love Great Barrington, but those are places that I don't remember.
Well, that's very helpful. That's very interesting. Anything else I should ask you about, or we should?
I don't think so. I think if I can call you up if I think of anything else. As I said, my recollection revolves so much around our own family life,
yeah.
Which was.
It sounds
simple.
Yeah.
It was. That I suppose it's not surprising that I don't remember all the periphery things,
yeah.
Particularly for.
And you weren't really part
a couple of months.
Community. Weren't part of the community.
No, I remember going down. There was always a baseball team. Going down to see the ball, you know.
The Lakeville, was it a Lakeville baseball team? Or
I think it was. Yeah, they'd play down where they Well, where they play now, as I recollect. Things like that, I mean, you'd certainly feel the warmth of being in this world when you went to a ball game or, as you suggest, a parade. And there were very friendly people. I mean, the merchants and whatnot, the people you came across gave you a real feeling of being a part of the community.
They probably all knew who you were, even though you were...
Yeah, I think so. My mother and dad were friendly people who...
But I must imagine the locals knew who came up in the summer. And
oh, sure, I'm sure. You probably stood out dramatically.
Oh, yeah. You had your charge account. They had those in the... Yeah, I'm sure they did.
My brother said that was the time, you know, there was a polio epidemic one of the summers we were up here. It was a great polio epidemic that swept the country. It was a terrible thing. And everybody had to stay very close to home. And he also remembers listening to the Olympic Games in 1936 on the radio. So that showed we were there during that period. And when Jesse Owens showed Hitler a thing or two.
Yes, he did. Did the polio epidemic have many victims here?
Well, it did countrywide, I suppose. It did here. This was before Salk had come up with his vaccine. And it really was a terrible thing. But, of course, radio was the thing in those days. I won't pretend we didn't listen to the radio.
And then, of course, during the war period, you were away.
I was a B-17 pilot in Italy during the war, and so for 3 years.
So you weren't here at all then?
I wasn't here at all. I never saw this world. Which is why I was all the sweeter when I came up with my mother that fall of 45.
I can imagine.
I always thought I got a private pilot's license after the war, and I've always regretted that I didn't continue to fly, because this is such a wonderful world for that. And we sit here, the planes are constantly hovering around and going in and out of the airport up the road. And,
yeah, quite a few friends of mine fly.
You do. I suppose you've been up. I've been up a few times. And it really is fun to look down on the northwest corner.
It's a real adjustment, though, to see how flat everything looks.
That's true. We were flying in a commercial plane not long ago, going to Atlanta or someplace from Hartford, and darned if it didn't fly right over here. We were up about 5 miles, but it was really interesting to look down on your own little world.
I had that experience flying from Washington to the airport just outside Newburgh.
Uh-huh.
And curiously, I mean, I had no idea the flights came over Hotchkiss. I mean, I just happened to be idly looking out the window and recognized Hotchkiss School. So there's something about where there I have some flight paths.
Yeah, we are in a pattern. I don't know how often they get over here. It depends on a lot of things, I suppose.
Well, I don't want to take too much of your time.
Well, I just wish I could provide more than I seem to be able to.
Right.
That's just, as you self-suggested, 2 months in the summer is a... So I really don't have the overall picture.
But it left you with a very, very special sort of feeling, obviously.
Oh, Lordy, yes. I can't imagine having had incredibly fortunate. Can't imagine having had a better childhood of a summer than the ones we had up here. It was a simpler world. It was a slower world, and you were, I suppose, there wasn't as much to do outside the home.
And it was more self-contained in a sense, so that you weren't distracted or whatever by all the outside. I mean, you really self-sufficient in terms of entertainment.
I guess that, in a sense, would be a good word. It wasn't just up here. I mean, that was life in general.
Sure.
However, this is 1993.
And I think we've used up most of the tape. Well, should I relieve you now?